Welcome to CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to My Journey of Faith, hosted by Cynthia McCutcheon, wife, mother, Bible teacher, and speaker, encouraging others to share their God stories to inspire others in their walk of faith. For the next 60 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at Christian Women Affiliate. Here's your host.
Hi, everyone. I'm so excited that you are joining us on My Journey of Faith today. I am so excited about this fall weather. It's supposed to come into our area over the next few days, and just fall is such a wonderful time for me. I just love it. It just brings so much beauty that God puts out there for us, and the leaf changing and all of that. I read a quote the other day by Mary DeMuth, and it said, "Satan not only wants to destroy you, he wants to de-story you." So many times we think our story is not important, it's not exciting, there's nothing going on that could bring it to God, but there's always a story in our life that God is using to bring his self-glory, and we just have to be a part of it. My guest today is Karen Hitchcock. She is the wife of Mark and the mother of two older children, Sumner, who is a sophomore in college, and Hannah, who is a senior. She is going through so many things in her life on the horizon. She sees the changes of life, and it kind of gets us in that time period of not knowing what's going on. So, Karen, I want to welcome you today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here.
I'm really excited about hearing your story, hearing things that are going on in your life, because so many of us have these things going on, but we're afraid to talk about them, we're afraid to give them to God, and we're afraid to even try to use a cane and walk through it.
Right, so that's true.
It is so true. So let's talk a little bit about where your life is right now. What are some things that are on your horizon, things that maybe even have just come, you've just met, you know, with your daughter's illness, things like that? What are some things that are going on in your life?
Well, you know, like everybody, life is a process, and it always involves a lot of change. But I would say, you know, in this past year, I've had a lot of change. My daughter was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. Suddenly, out of the blue, it's not been in our family. So we spent the better part of a week at NICU at a children's hospital here. And my son, the day he was supposed to move into college, I was in ICU with her. And I was so torn. There was no way I was going to leave my daughter's side, but yet here my son was beginning a new chapter of his life, and I was unable to be there for him. And it just seemed like just the fact that my kids are getting older, that my job as a parent was changing. I love and adore my husband. He travels quite a bit with his job, but it just kind of seemed like from then on things got crazy, for lack of a better word. And, you know, just hitting that 50-mile mark in my life, you know, turning 50, and, you know, just trying to figure out, you know, what is it that I need to be doing in this season of my life? You know, what would God have me do right now? You know, should I go back to work maybe when my children both leave? Again, my daughter is a senior this year, so I don't know. It just seems like lately a lot of things have been out of control. And, you know, I just don't ever feel comfortable with that. And I read a quote by Lisa Turkhurst not too long ago that said that even when things seem out of control, it doesn't mean that I have to be out of control. Mm-hmm. And so I've really been trying to remember that even though these changes are good and they're necessary, it's just that I have no control. And the two things that I want to do, I was reading my Bible this morning, is I want to be thankful to God in every season of my life, regardless if it's difficult or easy or a challenge. And then the other thing is, I want to trust him. I don't want to just be thankful. I want to have a heart that trusts him, and in spite of things sometimes being out of control.
That is so true. You know, I just became an empty nester, and that first week was so hard. I was like, I'm done. I don't have to wash anyone's clothes to get them ready for school. I don't have to make sure uniforms are washed. I don't have to have a specific meal to make sure my football players stay healthy and all of this.
Right.
And I felt lost. I was done.
Well, I guess everybody's different. You know, there's probably some moms out there that, you know, are, you know, happy to some degree. I mean, everybody's different. But I think for me, being a young mom at the age of 32, that's when I first had my first child, that's really how salvation came to me, was through having kids. You know, no sooner had I given birth, I realized that I was really out of my league, and I had no idea what I was doing. And I didn't want to do anything to damage these kids. And that was just a season of my life where God showed me that I really did not have a relationship with him. And it was through, you know, becoming a mom that God really began to work on me and work in my life. And so for me personally, being a mom has been the greatest treat, the greatest gift that God has given me apart from my salvation. I just, I love and adore my kids, and it's time for them to move on. And you just have to hope and pray that the things that you've placed inside of them through the years as you have been trying to teach them, that they will follow, especially follow Christ. That's what I want for my kids more than anything else, is to have a rich relationship with Jesus and know that it is about a relationship. It's not about a ritual. It's not about a routine. It's about having a real live relationship with a real live God who deeply cares and loves each of us.
That is so true. I'm sure, like most of us moms, you know, that our prayers when they were little were so different than what they are now, that they are they are older and that they're getting out on their own. Can you pinpoint any of those, some ways that maybe your prayers have changed?
It's just, you know, I can remember when they were little, I wanted to teach them the discipline of just getting quiet and still. You know, this world does nothing to really promote that idea. And I can remember that we used to light a candle, and whoever would be still the longest got to blow the candle out. But we just kind of did that to try to get them to get still and to realize that they could sit and talk to God in that stillness. And, you know, as they have gotten older, this world has changed. It's just an onslaught of evil that gets thrown against our kids. And, yes, my prayers have changed tremendously. I love them both dearly. Sometimes they don't make the best decisions. Sometimes they don't make the best choices. But, you know, the thing I always remember is I know what I have put into my kids. I have not been a perfect mom, but I have been a blameless mom. When I have messed up, I told my kids I was sorry, and I always tried to make things right with them. And, you know, as they're growing now, you know, I realize that, you know, going to college, that there's going to be professors, people out there that don't believe like I believe, and they're going to be teaching from a different mindset. And so, yes, I very much pray completely differently than I did years ago when they were little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember my oldest son when he went into college, and I forgot what class it was, but the professor asked them to tell a little bit about him and what they did for the summer prior. And he said he went on a mission trip to a third world country, and that whole semester, that professor held it against him. And he's like, Mom, I just don't get it. And I said, that's what we were telling you about. And you do.
That's right.
You have to cover your children with prayer, especially when they're going out into the world, because there are so many things that are pulling their attention. You know, they get that, they're away from Mama and Daddy, and they get to feel their roots. And all we can do is pray that what we instilled in them will come out just at the right
time.
That's
right.
I believe it does. I really do. God has a way of bubbling it up inside us, and it'll come out either through their voice or through their thoughts, and it's there.
That's right.
That's right. Well, let's talk a little bit about Hannah and her her diagnosis, a little bit about your walk with that. I know when you hear something about your children and you get a diagnosis, it's frightening and it's scary. Tell us about how you walk through that.
Well, you know, we had decided that we wanted to do a family trip before Sumner went off to school, and just wanted some family time together before he went off. And so we took this trip, but I noticed during this trip that she was not feeling well. And when we got back home, she went to school, her first day of school. And when she walked in the door, I knew. It was just that instinct that, you know, God puts inside of us that something's not right. And I put her in the car. We went to the doctor's office. And they ran some tests. And just a few minutes after we'd gotten there, they told us to take her directly to the emergency room. And even then, I really didn't fully understand what was going on. But, you know, God had prepared me for this. It was that do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, you know, even with your firstborn starting to college and your second one, you know, ending up in the ER, you know, God just gave me so much peace, and he gave my husband so much peace. But, you know, while we were sitting there, you know, we just really didn't get the full idea of what exactly was going on with her, but they came in and told us that, her blood sugar was through the roof, pretty much off the charts. They couldn't even get it to register. And evidently, when your blood sugar is that high, the concern is trying to get it down. If it comes down too quickly, it can make that person's brain swell, and it can kill you. And so what they had to do was actually put her in ICU. And slowly but surely, they would stagger trying to get her blood sugar down. And it was scary. I have so much respect for Arkansas Children's Hospital. I'm very thankful that we lived close to a place like that. But, you know, just the first few days, I was so overwhelmed. I can remember I woke up after sleeping in a chair all night, and the sun was shining, and I just reminded myself that God was in control and that he loved her. And I was thankful that we had gotten her the care that she needed. You know, it could have been different if we had been out of town still when we were on our vacation. And so what began was a process of learning and education about type 1 diabetes and trying to understand what exactly this meant for my daughter. It's changed our life, but I will say this. She has handled this with so much grace and so much strength, and she never complained, and she's gotten through it, and we are learning to live differently. But it changes your life. It changes your eating habits. It makes you more aware of what you're putting into your body when you eat. But, you know, I believe that she will do fine with this, and she is learning how to take care of herself. You know, the thing that made it difficult, though, was with this type of diagnosis, you know, food is such an important thing for a diabetic. You've got to keep your blood sugar up. And this past summer, she was already scheduled for an orthodontic surgery where they were going to have to go in and break both of her jaws and move her jaw forward. So that having the diabetes was such a huge issue with this surgery because it was going to involve her not being able to eat and, you know, pretty much limit her intake through a straw. But, you know, it's been hard, but I would not trade what we've been through for anything, for what it's taught me, for what it's taught her. Do I wish she didn't have it? You bet. I wouldn't want anyone to have to go through this. But, you know, God works in ways that we can't always see. And life is hard. It is not an easy process. You get up each day, your feet hit the floor, and you just have to do what you need to do. But thankfully for a person who knows Jesus, you're not getting up alone. You are not taking that journey by yourself. I have someone that lives inside of me through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he enables me to face these sudden issues that come in my life that, you know, it does. It threatens to overwhelm you at times. And I go back to that quote, when things are out of control, it doesn't mean I have to be out of control. Things were out of our control there. But I did not have to react. Hannah did not have to react in a way that was out of control. And we just trusted God with it, and that's what we will continue to do.
I think that goes back just to God is that rock. He is that anchor. He's those things that hold you still whenever it's all swirling around. And I love that. I love that you can look back and you can see that and you can thank God. You know, even in James it says, count it all joy when you go through these various trials, because whenever you go through it, and then it talks about when patience is in, perfect peace. I'm getting it all crazy, but it, in the end it says you will be complete and lack nothing.
And that's
that is
right.
Exactly,
and that's what
how
matters.
It is. That is what matters.
Yes.
You talked a little bit about the changes. There's such a lot of changes on your horizon that, and sometimes
right,
you feel like you can't keep your head above water. And a lot of us women think that, you know, there's just so many things washing around. Going back to that out of control, but we're still in control thing. But let's talk a little bit about maybe a story, something that resonates with you, you know, a Bible story that maybe can, or a character or something like that, that resonates with you. You can parallel your life to and understand.
Well, you know, for me, I would have to say, you know, any time I read the stories about the children of Israel, you know, when I think back to that crew that Moses was in charge of and, you know, how they would see God do these mighty works, and then no sooner would God do the miraculous, then they would just go right back to doing the same stupid things that they used to do. And,
exactly.
You know, and more or less, you know, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years with a trip that should not have taken 40 years. And I don't know, for me personally, you know, I love being Mark's wife. I love being Sumner and Hannah's mom. But, you know, I'm a person. You know, I'm a woman that I'm trying to deal with the changes of, you know, the aging process and going through the menopause. And, you know, I don't know, just for me personally, I just think surely I must just drive the Lord crazy on any given day, because I just feel like God says to me, you know, Karen, you've circled that mountain long enough, and you know, why are you always going back to doing the wrong thing when, you know, I'm clearly showing you what the right thing is? And I don't know, I guess just for me, you know, I just have struggles just like anybody else. You know, one of the struggles I've had for a long time is eating. I like to turn to food sometimes for comfort. And, you know, that's just one of the issues I've had, but that might not be your issue. But the fact is that you still have issues. They just may not be my issues. So I just, you know, just I get frustrated with myself sometimes when I know what the right thing is to do, yet I don't do it. And, you know, there's a Bible verse that says that. Him who knows what to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. And so, you know, when I think of the Bible and who I can relate to, it's the children of Israel, or, you know, it would be Peter, you know, who was always putting his foot in his mouth or saying the wrong thing and, you know, was just so gung-ho. But, you know, when push came to shove, you know, oftentimes Peter would do the wrong thing. But, you know, there's hope for me, because when I read the book of 1st and 2nd Peter and I see the kind of man that God transformed from that wayward disciple into one of the apostles, and I read the words that he penned, and I see how God changed him, I know that there's hope for me as well.
Very much. There is so much hope throughout God's word, and so many times, you know, we get blindsided, we get our eyes covered, and so many times we just have to pray God to peel those layers back so that we can see him and we can see, you know, what our next step is. What is that quote someone said? Faith is not having to see the whole staircase, but taking the first
step.
And that is so true. So many times of us women, and when we get to a time in our lives when things are changing, that they're all going in different directions away from us, and we feel lost, sometimes we just have to step out and take that next step, which is so funny, because that's kind of how I had to coerce you to be on the show, to take that next step with me.
This is very true. This was not something I was extremely willing to do. But you know what? If there's anything that I might say today that would be an encouragement to someone else, I want to do it. My life isn't perfect. I don't prescribe to being perfect. I'm a work in progress just like anybody else. I make mistakes every day. But I am just a sojourner on this earth, and I am making my way home. And this world is not where I'm going to end up. I'm going to go to heaven one day. But until then, if there's something that I can say or do that could encourage someone else, then I will get over whatever my fears are, and I will be obedient, because that's what I want to do.
I understand that totally. That was a little bit about me actually hosting this show. It had to be me getting over my own self and stepping out and saying, okay, God, if this is your will, let's go with it, and let's you be glorified. And that's how he has to be glorified from it, because I have no idea what I'm doing most of the time.
I think you're doing a great job today.
Well, if someone walked up to you right now and said, what is one thing you can do to encourage my life? What is one thing you could say to me that could encourage my life? What would you tell them?
Wow. Just that God is faithful. I know that sounds so cliche, but, you know, there are people in this world that are going to fail you. There are people that are going to disappoint you. And one of those people may even be yourself. You know, you're going to let yourself down. But God, he is such a mystery. He's so much greater and bigger than anything we could ever comprehend or understand. And yet, he loves us. And he shows us in so many ways, in so many circumstances, that he truly cares for us. And I love that verse that says, even when we are faithless, he remains faithful still. And so there may be seasons of someone's life where they are being faithless. It will not negate God's faithfulness. He remains faithful to us. And that faithfulness comes in blessing, but sometimes that faithfulness can also be with discipline. You know, hard times do come, and they don't always come because of anything that we've done, but you know, sometimes God has to get our attention. And, you know, the thing is I'm learning that he's trustworthy. He's proven himself, and he is a good God.
That is so true. I went last weekend to the Beth Moore Conference in the Living Proof Live in Tulsa, and she talked about Exodus chapter 15, about Miriam. They had just went through the Red Sea and gotten across, and Moses did his Song of Moses, and then said that Miriam took her tambourine and led the women out as they played their tambourines and danced. And you know what Beth said about it was, in the desert, Miriam thought to pack her tambourine because God is faithful and you're going to need it. And He is so faithful. And one of these days when we're going through what seems like the desert, we just got to reach down and pick up that tambourine because God is faithful.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, Karen, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I have enjoyed talking to you, just being real, and just the struggles of what women go through. So thank you for being honest and real with us today.
Well, you are so welcome. I appreciate the invitation, and it was a pleasure.
Well, it is so fun, and I can't wait for us to get together in person.
Well, me too. We need to do that soon.
We do. For those of you that are listening, I want to thank you also for joining us. Remember that your story is important. Don't let Satan shame you or embarrass you about your story. Don't think that it's little, because every single story God gives us is big in magnifying His name. So I want to encourage you to get out there, share your story. Find us on Facebook under My Journey of Faith radio page and talk with us a little bit about what's going on. Love to hear your story. Until next week, have a wonderful fall. Bye-bye.